Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the 28th Sunday of the year.
Our readings describe heaven as a great and wonderful wedding feast, what God has prepared for us. As Christians, we should be willing to do everything it takes to get to that banquet, whatever it takes to get there. I want to be there. I'm sure you do too. This is what we're made for. And in following Jesus and his church faithfully, we have been given the assurance that we shall be there. Many of you have probably read the book or seen the film of Roald Dahl called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where a young boy gets a golden ticket, which is the invitation to enter the chocolate factory, the delight and joy of every child. This is a good image for the hopes of human beings. It's a kind of image of heaven. We all want that golden ticket, that great invitation. The good news is that Christ has offered each and every one of us that golden invitation, but to something far greater than a chocolate factory, to something greater, in fact, than we can imagine. That which eye has not seen nor ear heard, that which has not even entered into the mind of man, those things which God has prepared. We have the golden ticket for Jerusalem, the golden. We have the key to the celestial city. But what is curious about our gospel today, and what baffles me when I look around the world, is that people are not interested in receiving the golden ticket. You can't even give it away. People aren't even bothered enough to investigate whether it's real or counterfeit. This is the inscrutable mystery of human apathy. Our gospel highlights it today. People simply won't come to the marriage feast. The other curious insight in our gospel is connected with the man who is without his wedding outfit, the man who doesn't have the garment. This has perplexed the minds of writers and of theologians for centuries. What is that garment? The fathers of the early church teach us that that wedding garment, which is needed to enter the feast, is the garment of grace. Now remember what grace is, sometimes called sanctifying grace. It's the thing that makes us holy, like the saints. Listen to the Catechism. Grace is a participation in the life of God. This grace, which is first given to us in baptism, is a capacity and a new power put within us, which makes us children of God, not metaphorically speaking, but really. By grace, we begin to share here and now, amazingly, the life of God himself. This isn't simply some fancy thinking. It's at the heart of our faith. It's at the center of the gospel. It's what human life is about. If we don't grasp this mystery, if we don't understand that grace is our calling, we never understand the Christian life. In baptism, our natural life has been supernaturally endowed, elevated, raised up to share in a divine relationship with God, to begin to love as God loves and know as God knows. Through grace, we become God's sons and daughters with the promise of heaven. This is the garment of grace, the garment we heard about in the gospel, the garment that is necessary for entrance into the wedding feast. You have probably heard from parents or perhaps grandparents of the state of grace. This is a key Catholic concept. Make sure you're in a state of grace. The state of grace is the state of being in possession of the wedding garment. And it implies that it can be lost, it can be taken off. Nothing is more important than to remain in the state of grace, because it's this that indicates our friendship, our relationship with God, so much so that we can be at the wedding feast. not as an outsider, but as one of his own. Many saints have said shocking things like they would rather die than lose the state of grace. Think of the story of Blanche of Castile telling her son, St. Louis, that she'd rather he die than commit one mortal sin, because he would lose the state of grace, because to live this life without this garment, without the love and friendship of God, is misery. We may have some pleasures and kicks and highs, but deep down, our hearts will be darkened in misery. And to die in this state would mean, as it meant for the man in the gospel, exclusion from the heavenly banquet. My mission as a priest is above all else to assure that as many people as possible have this glorious wedding garment, so that they live as God wills, but also, and most importantly, they enter into the feast prepared. The state of grace can be lost by one thing and one thing only, mortal sin. As the name implies, it kills not the physical life of the person, but the spiritual life. Serious sins, freely and knowingly chosen, are the cause of our throwing off of the wedding garment. Mortal sins are not always the big crimes or murders or bank robberies. Sometimes they're the subtle rejections of God. Serious sins of slander, destroying someone's reputation, sins against the most important religious obligations of the third commandment, missing Mass on Sundays casually and without any reason, sins of lust in action or in thought or through the internet, deliberately and knowingly chosen. These snares are the most dangerous things in the world, more dangerous than anything that can harm the body. Dangerous because they rob us of our birthright, of our inheritance to the eternal banquet. But the good news that this gospel doesn't touch upon, but in other places in the gospel it is quite clear, we can regain grace, we can put on again the wedding garment. And the means? Confession. The sacrament of confession is that way set into this world by our Saviour himself to take away our sins, to reclothe us in grace. Even when we ungratefully throw off God's love by sin, he accepts us back in his mercy. And there is no other ordinary or guaranteed way for our sins to be forgiven than confession. That wedding garment of grace is hanging up in the confessional, and our Father in heaven is longing to reclothe us in that robe as his children. It's that robe that was put on us in baptism. That outward sign of the white christening gown is but a symbol of what is going on within. It's that which we throw off so readily by our sins. And even if we go to confession to tell our venial sins, those regular faults, we have our baptismal robe already on us, but it has become soiled and maybe torn over time. Confession also mends that robe, makes it pristine, pure, beautiful again. Listen to St. Augustine, 1600 years ago. Put on the nuptial garment. I am speaking to you who do not wear it. You have already come in. You are now drawing near to the banquet, and you have not yet put on a garment in honour of the bridegroom. You are still seeking the things that are your own, not the things that are Christ's. Blessed are those called to the wedding supper of the Lamb. For God is a